Hello, this is Gary Hutchins, minister with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska, and we welcome you to Search the Scriptures. We appreciate you tuning in to Search the Scriptures. We hope that you are doing so every day at this time. And we hope that you are being motivated, at least greatly, because you are realizing that you're actually learning the Bible on this radio program. We strive to do exactly as the name Search the Scriptures suggests. We get into God's Word, we dig beneath the surface, look at it in depth and in detail, and yet we strive to explain it in a way that is easy to understand and that makes sense for your personal life. We want you to do more, though, than just listen to a radio program. We'd love to send you a free Bible study through the regular mail. We send it all over this area and across the country, literally. And when we say free, we mean exactly that. We'll even pay the postage both ways. Why don't you have a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper ready? We'll give you all of the information how you can receive that free Bible study at the end of the program today. We'd also love to have you come and worship with us and study and grow spiritually with us in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. If you want to find a church that teaches the Bible, we want to encourage you to come and worship and study with us. Now, you're not going to find a band. You're not going to find a theatrical production. You're going to find a church that simply strives to be that church that we all read about in the Bible. Nothing more, nothing less. So have that pencil or pen and piece of paper ready. We'll give you the times of our services and the address of our church building at the end of the program today. We hope to see you soon. It is wonderful to be back on our program Search the Scriptures with our listeners, and also to be here to study God's Word in person with Dennis Stackhouse.
Thank you, Gary. It's certainly my pleasure to be with you on the program today. We're just excited to have everyone listening to us that is at this point in time. Glad to have you with us. And as always, we're going to spend time in God's Word with the ultimate aim of giving Him the glory and the praise through everything that we do.
Amen. And we are looking at this particular study in a very fundamental way, aren't we?
Really are.
In fact, it would be difficult to get much more fundamental than what we're doing today. We're talking about studying God's Word and how important that is for our spiritual lives.
Of utmost importance.
Utmost importance. Now, someone might say, well, what do you mean? It would be more important to be talking about Jesus Christ or talking about the crucifixion or the resurrection or be talking about God being our Father and salvation. Where do you think you learn about all of that?
There's one source where all that information comes from.
God's Word.
That's right.
We need to read the Bible. You know, Dennis, I've made the point, we've talked about it during this particular series of studies, how My perspective is that, and my perception is that most people really don't know much Bible anymore.
It seems to be the case, Gary.
Now, I don't know how it always was. When you kind of look at historical references, it seems to be that in generations gone by, people seemed to read the Bible more, generally.
It does seem to be the case, and I've often wondered about that myself. What's the difference between a society 50, 75, even 100 years ago and our society today? And I'm not sure I have all the answers to that. I think today we have so many avenues of entertainment and recreation that for many people they just don't take the time to read God's Word.
I think that certainly is a huge factor in the ultimate problem. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to a brother. In fact, he was one of my instructors. He was also my counselor when I was in college studying for the ministry many, many years ago. His name was Batzel Barrett Baxter. He had been head of the speech department in years gone by at Pepperdine, what is now Pepperdine University. And then he was also the head of the Bible department at Lipscomb, what is now Lipscomb University in Nashville. And I remember him talking about in 1975. He was talking about what are, and I believe he was saying somebody posed the question, what do you think is, or maybe is there a series that you would have in mind? What are the most momentous or most important developments over the first three quarters of the 20th century? Mm-hmm. And I remember him talking about what he saw as the most serious, momentous development over the first three quarters of the 20th century was man's gradual drifting away from faithfulness to God. Mm. And of course, that has to be connected with his lack of being founded, or grounded rather, in the fundamentals of God's word.
That's right.
It has to go part and parcel with it.
Absolutely.
When we stop reading God's word, unfaithfulness to God naturally follows.
Yes, it's going to, just as night follows day.
Because again, what is the basis for our faith?
It's found in God's word.
Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God.
That's right.
So if we're not in the word of God, we cannot expect to have deep, strong, abiding faith in God.
That's right.
And we cannot expect to have a solid, concrete understanding of how we ought to be living before God in faithfulness.
Again, it all comes from the same source.
That's correct. All of that's there in God's word.
Yes.
Now, we've been looking at a whole bunch of descriptive terms that we have not made up. They've not been made up by man.
Right.
They're found right in God's word.
Yes.
Right in Scripture. And significantly, they're used therein to describe God's word.
That's right.
We've looked at these, and they really is a rather fascinating study, I think. You know, just it's so rich in the imagery. It's described in Jeremiah 23, 28, and 29 as both fire and a hammer.
Yes.
And we've talked about the fire being a purifying agent, the hammer, something that can break into pieces mm-hmm. false teaching, unrighteousness mm-hmm. through its teaching.
That's right.
We've read in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, that the word is a mirror. Mm-hmm. It'll help us to see truth. It'll help us to see righteousness, and it'll also help us to see unrighteousness and unfaithfulness, even in our own lives.
Yes.
It's that imperishable seed, as Peter put it, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. And that goes along with the idea that faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Yes, it does.
As the word is planted in our hearts, ultimately faith can develop and mm-hmm. grow. And we can grow spiritually.
Right.
It's a lamp and a light to guide our feet, or to guide our path, to light the way before us, the way that we need to be going, the best direction in life. Psalm 119, 105. We saw it described as rain and snow, and that was really rich mm-hmm. To me, Dennis.
Yes.
The idea that it waters the ground,
yes,
provides the nutrients mm-hmm. and the nutrition for the crops that grow in the fields. Mm-hmm. We compared it to that tree being planted by the waters in Psalm verse 1. Mm-hmm. And of course, the rain and the snow is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Mm-hmm. But that, just as that tree is going to stand tall, even in the time of drought around it, if those waters are still flowing by which it is planted, that tree is going to get what it needs.
It's interesting there in Psalm 1, that's described, Gary, as a tree whose leaf will not wither.
Yes. And in spite of what might confront us in the way of worldliness, unrighteousness, evil, wickedness, temptations, trials, all kinds of things that the devil might buffet us with, mm-hmm. if we're planted firmly in the teachings of God's word, we're going to stand tall spiritually, aren't we?
That's exactly the case.
We'll be able to withstand. We'll be able to overcome. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to endure. Now, in our last program, we talked about the Word being the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
Well, all of these very rich images, aren't they?
Oh, they really are.
Boy, like water and like a sword at the same time.
Yes.
And that sword being able to cut people to their heart and touch them with the truth of God's teachings and move and motivate them to be responsive in a faithful way.
That's right.
So powerful. Now, when we were closing our program last time, we were talking about the Word being food also. And I guess it would fall in order. If we see it as being water, then it's not much of a jump to say, yeah, food too.
Yes,
it nourishes
that's right.
us.
Yeah, exactly.
Nourishes us as food nourishes us. Mm-hmm. How about turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and reading the first couple of verses again?
And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able.
Now, here he talks about, and we're going to move over to Hebrews chapter 5 in just a moment, and we're going to see the same comparison that Paul uses here, just a little different term in one case. Mm-hmm. But here Paul uses the Word as both milk and solid food at the same time.
Yes, he does.
Now he's talking, though, about a different stage of spiritual development for the individual, isn't he?
Oh, exactly. He's contrasting one who may be just a new Christian with one who has been a Christian for a specified period of time and should be moving on to maturity.
So that new Christian is like that newborn babe, as we've talked about in previous lessons, that Jesus says we need to become, we need to be born again. And Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we've got to become that new creation.
Yes.
All right, so as one becomes a Christian in those early months, perhaps even those early couple of years or so, as he's really getting into the Word and he's learning the fundamentals, the foundational teachings, the first principles, as they're called, of Christianity, that's the milk, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And just as a newborn physical baby needs that milk to start him out, then that newborn spiritual baby, a new Christian, needs the milk of the Word to kind of lay the foundations, lay the groundwork, and provide the foundation for him to grow and mature into spiritual maturity.
Yes, I think it's very instructive, Gary, that you use the word foundation as you speak about that, and we might liken that to someone building a house. You know, you don't start with the roof and build down. You start with the foundation and you build up. You have to have a solid, firm foundation on which to build. And that's exactly the case with a young Christian. They need the foundation, the first principles of God's Word, in order for them to grow to maturity.
In fact, there's no other way to build a house.
No, there isn't. Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, you might say, oh yeah, we can put some poles in the ground, we can put a roof up there. But then when you lay the foundation, you might find out that you put the poles in wrong.
That's right.
And now the roof is crooked.
Yes.
And now you've ruined the basic structure of the roof when you pour the foundation, because the roof's got to be adjusted. So there's no other way to do it. You got to lay the foundation first.
Yep.
But Paul also describes the Word there as being solid food.
Yes, he does.
And so isn't that, again, descriptive of the richness of God's Word there? It is both the milk for that newborn Christian, and it is the solid food for that growing, developing, maturing Christian.
And it's amazing, Gary, over the years, as I've taken the time to study God's Word in my own life, the more I come to learn, the more I know about God's Word, I'm reminded about how much I don't know. And that, I think, speaks to the richness that you mentioned just a moment ago.
Yes. You've heard me talk about how, you know, I can read a passage, and I know it's the same for you. Mm-hmm. Each of us have probably read certain passages in the Bible 100, 200, 300, 500 times.
Right.
And yet we'll still come back to those, and we'll read it over again, and all of a sudden something will jump out at us, and we'll say, wow, how did I not see that before?
I never knew that was there.
And all of a sudden, that particular passage takes new life,
yes.
And there's the excitement again.
It is.
That's just right. Incredible.
Yes.
Now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5, and how about reading verses 11 through 14 there?
Of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Now, when it's talking there about the milk, again, he's not saying that there was not a time when you should have had milk. He's just saying you should have moved beyond that time.
Yes.
When that's all you could endure. When that was all that you could, as we would say, would be palatable,
mm-hmm.
from a physical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Your stomach, you know, for that newborn baby can't handle, you know, steak and, mm-hmm. and beans and all of that stuff. They need, that baby needs the milk.
Right.
Needs the soft, bland diet to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, or the Hebrews writer says, that was fine, mm-hmm. when you were newborn Christians.
That's right.
In your early stages of development and growth. But he says, you know, you haven't gotten past that.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the rebuke he's giving.
Mm-hmm.
You need to move beyond. You need to get past that. And you need to get to the solid food, as he portrays it in verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Solid food.
Right.
And then he goes on and talks about it as being meat, I believe, later in that text there. We need to get to the meat of the word.
Yes.
And not just always be caught up in the milk.
Yes, that's correct.
Solid food belongs to those who are of full age.
Right.
Or it could also, the understanding there is who are mature.
Yes.
Now, mature spiritually, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the reason that they're mature is they have used their senses to exercise both good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Both good and evil. Well, how do you do that?
It's through the use of God's Word, by having taken it into your life and then being able to apply its teachings in your life.
Yes. You're talking about study again, aren't you?
It's study.
Got to get in that Word.
We really do.
It keeps coming back to that. And of course, we're not surprised, because that's what we're trying to emphasize. But that's basic and fundamental. We have to keep coming back to the Word and studying it and learning from it, so that we can grow thereby. And that's how Peter put it as well in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. We grow first with the milk, and then we continue to grow and develop through the meat, or the solid mm-hmm. food of the Word.
Right.
Now, and in that particular text in Hebrews, I think perhaps one of the other translations might use the word meat there instead of solid food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. What do we read there?
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, Jesus is speaking there, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And he is being tempted by the devil in the wilderness.
Right.
And the devil's even using some scripture on him, although he's misusing it.
Yes.
But how does Jesus combat the devil there?
Well, as we've mentioned before, Gary, he's using what's been described as the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God.
And he's using it correctly.
Yes, he is.
And he's straightening the devil out.
In essence, that's exactly what's happening.
Of course, the devil ended up just leaving him after a while. And he went on doing his work as the devil. But the text is there for us, our learning.
Yes, that's right.
We can defeat the devil through our knowledge that we gain, obtain, glean from God's Word with God's help.
Oh, yes. And it's like the Hebrews writer described there back in chapter 5 and verse 14 that we just read. We get to the point where we can discern between good and evil. But we can't do that unless God's Word is abiding in us.
Yes, yes. Very important. Has to be abiding in us, living in us. We have to be living by it.
Right.
Now, let's look at one more description here, you know, an image that is portrayed. And this one is directly as water. We've seen the rain and the snow, but this one now is talking about the water of life, basically. And that's John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38.
On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water."
Rivers of living water. Now that's going to be based upon God's word again, isn't it?
It definitely is.
Rivers of living water. How do we get to that living water? Well, that's God's word again.
That's God's word.
God's word is the key. So we've seen all of these descriptive terms, water and solid food and milk. We've seen the sword, the rain, the snow, the light, the lamp. We've seen the imperishable seed, the mirror, the hammer, the fire. And they're all talking about the same thing.
They're all talking about God's word.
God's word. Looking at it from different perspectives and seeing different aspects of the power of that word. Mm-hmm. But it's all talking about God's word.
That's right.
Now, Jesus tells us something in John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32. How about reading that for us?
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
So he conditions our being recognized as his true disciples or followers by our living in and by his word.
That's right, abiding in it.
And we're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set us free.
That's right.
What is that truth?
The truth, according to John 17, verse 17, is God's word.
God's word. Keep coming back to that, don't we?
We really do.
So it is fire, it is hammer, it is a mirror, it is imperishable seed, it is a lamp, a light, it is rain, it is snow, it is a sword, it is milk. It is solid food, it is water, it is truth.
It's truth.
And through the teachings of God's word, we can be set free from the condemnation of the guilt of our own sin as we learn the gospel message of salvation and respond in faithful obedience. Come into our Lord Savior Jesus Christ through baptism for the remission of our sins.
That's right.
It's all right there in the word.
Yes, it is.
We encourage our listeners to contact us and ask us for that free Bible study so that they can get into God's Word and their lives can be strengthened. If you'd like to study these matters more fully, right from the Bible, in the privacy of your own home, then contact us and request that free Bible study that we talked about earlier. You can receive it simply by writing to us at Sunny Slope Church of Christ, 3606 North 108th Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68164. Sunny Slope Church of Christ, 3606 North 108th Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68164. You can phone us at 402-498-8397, 402-498-8397. You can email us at sunnyslope, all one word, S-U-N-N-Y-S-L-O-P-E, at Church of Christ, again, all one word, sunnyslope at churchofchrist.com. You can visit us on the web at www.churchofchrist.com, www.churchofchrist.com. Click in the email link, and you can make your request that way. And again, this study is absolutely free. We'll even pay the postage both ways. You can also receive a copy of today's lesson on CD, also for free, and again, we'll pay the postage. Now, we'd love to have you do more, though, than just listen to this program, and even to receive that Bible study. We'd love to have you come and worship and study and grow spiritually with us in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. We'd love to meet you and let you get to meet us and observe a church that is simply trying to be the church of the Bible, nothing more, nothing less, a church where you can really come and learn God's Word. Bible classes begin every Sunday morning at 9:30, classes for virtually all ages, and all ages really do study the Bible, followed by worship at 10:30 each Sunday morning. Sunday evening worship begins at 6 o'clock each Sunday evening, and right in the middle of the week, a good time to stop and get your spiritual batteries recharged in the midst of all the busyness of what we do every week, midweek Bible classes every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. You're always welcome to any and all of our regular services. We hope to see you soon. Until then, read your Bible, and may God guide you and bless you as you study His Word.